We've spent the last several weeks at Heritage Church exploring what it means to live in His name. As a matter of fact, there's been a total of 7 messages devoted to living in the name of Jesus. It's covered probably 2 months. So for 2 months, we've really been talking about the name of Jesus, living in that name. It's interesting that, and I don't know when Beck picked it out, but the musical performance, the choir presentation, the title of it is called That Name. It's all about the name of Jesus. It's almost like there's some sort of divine orchestrator of all these things. Today we celebrate the grace and the power and the joy that is ours because of the name of Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself through different names. That was not meant to confuse us by giving us different names. It was God reveals Himself through the use of different names in order to invite us. Somebody say invite. In order to invite us to experience Him and to know Him. Every revelation of God is an invitation to know Him better. When God reveals Himself, it is an invitation to know Him in that way. So every time God revealed Himself, every time that God acted or intervened in the life of the Israelites in a unique way in that narrative, he would describe that action in a name He would give Himself. He would reveal Himself but with a name, and that was intended to invite them to understand Him, and not just to understand Him cognitively, but to experience Him and to know Him in that way, in the fullness of His nature. Now, in the New Testament, we understand that God has completely and perfectly revealed Himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect, complete revelation of God. And as such, we are invited through the name of Jesus to experience and know God fully. Paul wrote in the book of Colossians, he wrote this in the first chapter. He says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. For God was pleased to have all, somebody say all, to all His fullness dwell in Jesus. The writer of Hebrews opens with these words. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament opens with these words. Listen to them. In the past, God spoke to us, spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. At many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is, listen to these words, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Therefore, every name of God revealed in the Old Testament, which again, all of those are provided to invite us to experience and know God, all of those names are then fulfilled completely in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is our access to all that God is. The name of Jesus is our access to all that God has and all that He will do. For instance, Yahweh. Yahweh is the covenant name for God. It is first seen in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. It means to be or to live. It means that God is the self-existent one. Yahweh is translated, I am, or I am who I am. Now that's not I am what I am, that's Popeye. I am who I am. You might remember that if you haven't read it. You probably have seen the movie, and that's Moses and the Burning Bush, where Moses says, well, who shall I say sent me? And God says, I am. That's Yahweh. Yahweh. It is the most sacred and revered name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. It is a name that the Hebrews would not even say. When they came to the texts, when they came to the scriptures where Yahweh was there, they would say in its place, Adonai, Lord. It is a sacred, revealed, and holy name. And it is also the root of the name Jesus. Jesus is what is our word for the English variant of the word Yeshua. Yeshua is a compound word, and most of the Hebrew words are and names are compounds. But Yeshua is a compound, and the first part is from Yeho, which is Yahweh, and the second part, Shua, means help. Yahweh, help. No wonder the New Testament writer said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. To call his name is to literally say, God, help. His name means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh save. To call on his name is a cry for help, is a cry for salvation. No wonder the angel told Joseph, you shall call his name. I know it's Christmas Sunday, but let's relax a little bit. Okay. Some of you wore ties today, and so you don't know how to relax. It's okay. Jim and Ed look good in ties. I'm going to wear mine Christmas Eve. And then I'll be all stuffy too. All right? So, All right, so for those who have not picked up, this is my wonderful father, and I'm not just picking on the distinguished man in the front row. Does anybody remember where I was? I was asking for help, I think, is what I was thinking what was happening there. The angel told Joseph, you shall call his name
Jesus,
for he shall save his people from their sins. When the angels came and exploded into the heavenlies in front of the shepherds, they said, we bring you good news, which will be for great joy for all men. For they said, today a Savior has been born. The good news is God is here to help, to save. Yeshua, God is our help, our salvation. Another Old Testament name, one of my favorites, and we won't go through them all in case you're wondering how long you're going to be here today, but another Old Testament name is El. It is the name for God that means mighty, strong, prominent. And if you know me at all, then you know that I have a certain proclivity, a certain preference for all things superhero. And so this is really for me, now I'm just saying for me, I'm not trying to assign new doctrine here. I'm just saying for me, this is the superhero name for God. This is God who is Mr. Incredible. God, mighty and strong. And Jesus is called. The prophet said, the virgin shall give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1 says that Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. His name is Emmanuel. Well, once again, you have a Hebrew word that's simply stretched out and reversed. Emmanuel is Emmanuel, or with us is El. God is with us. God, the mighty God. God, the strong God. God, the prominent. God, the superhero, is with us in Jesus. I want you to consider also the name Yahweh Rophe. Yahweh Rophe, which we find in Exodus chapter 15. As God has intervened and brought healing to the people of Israel, Yahweh Rophe means God, he is the God who heals. Rophe means the healer, the healing one. And I want you to recall that Peter, the Apostle Peter, when he went to the house of Cornelius, the first Gentile home where the gospel was proclaimed, he summarized the entire life of Jesus, his life and ministry, with this one sentence, that God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The scriptures declare that by your stripes, by his stripes we have been healed. Matthew introduces the ministry of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, then repeats it again in Matthew chapter 9. He says that Jesus went about to every town and to every city, healing every sickness and disease. Jesus is our Yahweh Rophe. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, God is revealed as Yahweh Tsidkenu. Now, I'm not going to make you remember how to spell that one. But Yahweh Tsidkenu means the Lord our righteousness, or the Lord who gives us or provides, who is a righteousness for us. And then Paul wrote about Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Paul said of Jesus that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we might in him become the righteousness of God. That means in Jesus, through faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the righteousness of God. We don't keep lists. We don't try to make God happy. We don't do calisthenics. We don't live by our own flesh, our own works, or by the law. We live through faith in Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness before God. And church, that's why it's such good news. In Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35, God says, I am Yahweh Shammah, which means the Lord is there. He is present. Would y'all say he is present? He is present. The psalm says that he is a very present help in time of need. God is exceedingly close and present. And Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, as he sent them out, he said, and remember this, in sending them out, he left them with this final promise, this final word of comfort and confidence. He said, and remember this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am present. Jesus is our Yahweh Shammah. Judges chapter 6, verse 24, God reveals himself as Yahweh Shalom. Would y'all say Shalom? Shalom. Come on, get your little, what's a yarmulke or something? Everybody say Shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah, there you go. You're all feeling messianic today, right? God says, I am Yahweh Shalom. I am the Lord your peace. Shalom, of course, is translated peace, and many people know that, but Shalom is one of the most pregnant words in the Old Testament scripture as far as being full of meaning and life. The Hebrews understood this word shalom, peace, to mean whole, finished, fulfilled, nothing missing, nothing broken, perfected. Shalom means the kind of peace that results from being a whole person in right relationship to God and in right relationship to your neighbor. Ephesians says, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians that Jesus, about Jesus, and he says this, he himself is our peace. Jesus is our shalom. In Jesus, we have peace with God, peace of mind, peace in our body, and peace with our neighbor, we have the peace of God in Jesus. For all of this and for much, much more, Jesus then is the giver of great joy. Would you all say that out loud? Great joy. Great joy. The angels said that the news of Christ's birth was good news of great joy that will be for all men. Later, Peter said that those who believed in Jesus, those who experienced salvation in Christ, were those who were to be filled. Somebody say filled. Filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Peter writes that those people who name the name of Jesus, those who claim Him, those who call on Him, those who say, Yahweh help, Jesus, you're my Lord, those who call on Him are those people who are supposed to be, who are promised to be, who are empowered to be, intended to be by God, the people who are absolutely full of joy that cannot be articulated. That joy that can't even be expressed. They are full of it, and that joy, they are full of it. Come on now. Somebody said, I'm with you there, man. No. They are full of joy that is so glorious it cannot be expressed. Now, we have to admit that there perhaps is some margin of a difference between how what the Scripture describes the joy we're supposed to have and where sometimes we live. Anybody recognize? Now, I'm not trying to make you, but how many of you know somebody who knows somebody? There's a margin of difference there. Well, why do I say that? Not to make anyone feel badly, but to, like I said at the beginning, to invite us to know and experience God more fully. The choir is going to sing, joy, joy, joy. Jesus is joy. And I found myself numerous times as I listened to them sing and occasionally went to choir practice. I said, I wonder how many people believe that. Believe that. How many people will believe it and walk in it? Understanding what Jesus is for us and to us and what He has provided for us. We have joy because of Jesus. Jesus is our peace. So we have joy. We have joy because He is with us. We have joy because Jesus is our shepherd. We have joy because Jesus is our righteousness. We have joy because Jesus is our healer. We have joy because Jesus is the Lord God who is mighty to save us. He is our Savior. Jesus is joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Jesus Christ is Lord.